Welcome back, everybody. I'm going to start this off differently. I had a weird thought earlier today because of recent social media posts about the podcast, and that sparked me to think about an instance where, if you guys have probably been listening to certain podcasts for like years and stuff like that, and have you ever, like, this has happened to me a couple more times than I realized, never looked up what the people look like, and then you just like conjure a mental image of what they do in fact look like, and then like when you finally do, you're just like, huh, not what I pictured at all by the
same voice. No, 100%.
100%.
Yeah, okay. Because I was thinking about that. I'm like, that could be happening for us. People could look us up and be like,
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the DM. Weird. Face doesn't match the voice. Weird.
Oh. This guy that does all these voices, don't look him up.
He sounded kind of cute, but he's a little derpy, not going to lie.
He's a little derpy.
He looks like he doesn't shower. Kind of like a homeless guy. I don't
know. Oh, yeah. Weird. They all look like they don't shower. Oh.
Oof. Millennials, am I right?
I get it. You hear Indigo's deep bass-tone voice, and you think, that guy's probably like 6'8", total hunk. And I hate to be the one to tell you this. It's totally true.
That's totally true.
Yeah.
Andrew, you're the one guy, Andrew, who somebody listens for like 2 years without bothering to look up our social media, finally looks at it and goes, ah, yeah, I had it pretty close. That makes sense.
But he would be a guy who thought of Indigo. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Well, I had that thought and I had to share it, and I'm glad I did, because I'm glad to know I'm not the only one with this particular problem. I'm not going to call it a problem, whatever it is. Anyways, last time we met, you all had kind of finished up your time in the kitchens, semi-agreeing to take this tiny jar mimic that Indigo had found with you. But before, you had checked into the large hall, the banquet hall, into which you saw a number of more dead bodies. However, the coast seemed clear, so you guys proceeded forward and had discovered that the mimic eats bones or seems to enjoy those types of things. You guys had continued venturing north, coming out into a longer hall filled with old, kind of rotting, dried trophies of various hunts and creatures. You were presented with more of these red crystals kind of jutting up through the ground and more bodies. And as you reached towards the end of the hall, that you saw a much larger skeleton there, which you didn't really investigate, and a set of doors to the west, which you believe, due to your kind of booklet that you had read through about the castle, that was a barracks. And the staircase, your little travel booklet, the brochure. Thank you for coming to the haunted castle.
They really let the place go in the last few years.
They really did. The trust money has been running out slowly and surely. This was, they can barely keep the lights on, as you can tell.
One star,
yeah. Jeez, I hate to tell the management.
Well, she's dead now, so it's fine.
Yeah, she's dead, so oof. Maybe that's why she was like, let me go. I can't keep up with it.
Athira was actually the housekeeper.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Later you'll meet management anymore, and they'll be like, oh, thank God she was useless.
Oh, thank goodness.
Anyways.
Sorry, I totally threw you off.
No, it's good. It was great. The staircases, or what led to the staircases, have collapsed. You cannot necessarily tell how recently due to the overall state of this castle. And the larger set of doors leading to the east, which you knew led to the odd gardens that the king and queen, through your readings, had put together. As you guys emerged, you saw that this space was immediately filled with three large trees spread out kind of closer to the castle wall in the back, and a number of garden beds filled with strange stones, and growing from them were some very large sets of crystals. In a few spaces, you see the red crystals. The rest, however, glow with this blue-greenish kind of energy that kind of pulsates a little bit. And I did forget to mention something very important, which I will say in a minute once I finish this recap. As you guys had ventured out into this garden, immediately you were ambushed by a large group of goblins led by a couple of bosses and two orcs. And pretty much that's where we find ourselves, as you guys have been surrounded, quickly making work of them. And as you've been having this fight, oddly enough, Indigo has been the only one to truly notice that a handful of the goblins have been brought down by these large crossbow bolts that seem to be erupting from the darkness. And lastly, Athira, taking a couple powerful blows, not wanting to give up protecting you all, now lies cradled in Indigo's arms, and as you prepared to heal her, she asked you not to. And we are going to pick right back up at the top of the order, as Indigo had just gone. And the very important thing, slash not important thing, but the odd thing I forgot to mention before. Sifel, when you had cast the gravity spell, I think it was?
Magnify gravity.
Well, let's make you do a perception check. It's not going to be a difficult one, but let's see if you notice.
Sure.
The rest of you can do this as well if you want to.
Unfortunately, I think Indigo is otherwise. Attention is focused elsewhere.
That's fair.
Sorry about that. I don't notice shit.
Well, because
I rolled a natural one.
Oh. What's your total?
One.
Okay. Vara?
I rolled a 3 for a 2.
Okay. Never mind. That information shall die with me. Cool.
I'm stuck behind a crystal and got jumped by orcs. I wasn't really paying attention to what my spell was doing other than killing goblins. I'll leave it at that.
Yep. You are heavily distracted. Okay. Well, let me get that music back and going here. It was so distracting earlier. Okay, so back at the top of the order is we have the northern set of goblins still alive near Ashni and Lara, who had been stepping out of her dark aura, or stormy aura, I should be saying. And let us see here. This one up in the farthest north in the crystal beds is going to move 5, 10, 15 feet to the west, and is going to fire their short bow at Indigo.
All right.
Let's use my blue die for this one. 11, a 15.
A 15 does hit.
Okay. And you take 5 points of piercing damage. Alright. The one directly to the south of it, still in Lara's aura, is going to step away, incurring an attack of opportunity from Ashni. Did Ashni take one last time? I should have made a note.
I
You know what? Tell you. For the sake of simplicity, I'm just going to let him have it. So go ahead and make an attack of opportunity against that goblin.
Okay. I apologize. I have to pull this up.
No, no. It's all good. I kind of threw that on you.
Okay. Yeah, when they step back, Oshni will attempt to bite.
Okay.
That is a 18 to hit.
That is a hit. Oh, I totally forgot a goblin ability. Frig. Hands off the chest piece.
4 piercing.
4 points of piercing damage. So Oshni bites into this goblin and he squeals, get the lizard dog off of me! Alright, so as he steps away, he's going to pull out his short bow and he's going to fire it at Oshni. This blue die has been nice. I haven't used it a whole lot. That's a natural 18. That's definitely going to hit the poor boy.
Oh, I will use...
Okay.
I want to use my reaction to impose... Lara gets to use her reaction to give resistance for that.
Okay, so you're doing the resistance against this damage?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I rolled a 5, so it's going to be 7 points of piercing damage, and I believe that makes it go to 3.
Okay.
All right, good use. How's the, I bet the Oshni, Oshni's taking a few hits, right?
I'm sorry. Gosh, you think we haven't done this in a couple weeks. Oshni is down to 11 out of 21.
Okay. Well, this goblin next to Oshni is actually going to swing at him. My metal die, that's a 17 plus 4, yep. So 21. Green one. Oh, Jesus. Max damage, 6 on the die, so that is 8 points of slashing damage. Yikes.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, that is goblin group number 1. The person next in the order is Athira, who lies dying in Indigo's arms. She's just still kind of, she mumbles once or twice more to you, Indigo, and then you feel hers start to go limp in your arms. But you think she, if you didn't want to follow what she asked for, you might have a couple of spare moments to do something about it. Okay. Next in the order is Lara.
Yeah, Lara has her Shadow Blade out.
The cursed weapon.
The cursed weapon. And seeing that Oshni's taking some hits, she's going to stride over to the goblin that attacked Oshni and give that a good ol' attack.
Okay.
Oh, but I will... for my action, use Booming Blade on that.
Jeez. All right.
Which is... It's only an 11 to hit.
That is a miss.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, so this energy you build up, I imagine because it's Booming Blade mixed with the Shadow Blade, that I picture the lightning like crackling farther into the Shadow Blade, and it's just like the thunderous force is building in it or something as you swing over this goblin. And he manages to duck away from this blow.
Okay, well, I will use my bonus action to command Oshni to attack that goblin.
He's like, ha-ha! You missed! Oh, shit!
Oh, and Oshni, like, reaches up to snap his ass. All right. That is a 17 to hit.
That is a hit.
Oshni's doing better than I am. It's another 2 piercing.
2 points of piercing damage. So, yeah, you miss, but as the goblin is perched low, Ajni gets up and bites his ass.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And I'll end my turn.
Okay. All of you make a perception check, please.
I'm not meant to be perceptive.
So, my first one was a natural one, and I just rolled a natural 20.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
There you go. So, there you go.
That's 20 total.
20 total. Okay. What was that again, Indigo?
It's a 13 for Indigo.
13. Okay. Lara?
My earlier two, now I have a 3. So I am getting better.
Okay. Indigo, you hear that familiar whistling of a bolt flying from the darkness, and you know whoever this mysterious assailant is, they are still firing. Lara, you see as Ashni bites up into this goblin, all of a sudden it just like falls down like. And you think it's Ashni for a second that must have killed this goblin until it falls and you see this large, thick crossbow bolt sticking from its back. Yusufel, hear this same twang and whistle, and you hear it coming to the northeast of you. And you like look over and you just are staring into the crystals, but all of a sudden it's like you can see straight through it. And you see from over at this wall what looks like a figure in the dark with this large crossbow put over the wall and just like cranking back this its string or wire, whatever you want to call it. I forget exactly what the part is called on the crossbow, but you just hear ding, 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 and you hear the latch and another bolt slide into place. So you definitely know that there is someone by this wall that is firing at these goblins. Okay. Next up is Stool. Oh, Stool, you magnificent man. Or fungi, I should say. He is going to... He's like, if he had tears, he would be crying. He's like, Adira, I'm so sorry. I'm gonna kill the goblins. And he just charges 5, 10, 15, 25, 30 feet. And he gets up on this goblin, the most southerly, still alive goblin, and is going to punch at it twice. First one is a natural 20. Some
damn
crow.
It.
That's okay. Right.
Wow, I'm rolling really good tonight, guys.
Laura can't see this. She just fucking whiffed it, and then Stool's over there like...
He just, like, runs over and does this little stool hop and just obliterates this goblin's face, and it actually dies on the first punch.
Jesus.
Hell yeah.
And he's just like, for Athera! All right, that is the oh-so-brave Stool's turn. And that takes out the last of the goblins to the south, so they're out of the order. And next up is Sifel.
Okay. So everything around me has died, including Athera. I'm going to finally, now that I can move. Let's see. How would it look like to go sort of around here? Yeah, right there. Okay, so he is going to... Actually, I think I can only get there because stepping through a body is difficult terrain. Yes. So he's going to sidle around this, where this large crystal is over the body of the dead goblin. He's going to run around the southern side of it, out the opposite, so he's sort of between the two. Are these like, are these pedestals? Are they just stone?
Think they are like raised garden beds with like small stone walls that kind of enclose whatever was growing in here. But you don't see any kind of, beside like the odd fungi that seems to be kind of growing up these small walls, all you see are like odd collections of stones and ores within these beds and the crystals.
All right, so he is now between two beds, and he is going to throw a celestial burst up at that first goblin right in front of Lara.
Okay.
Another natural 20.
Holy Jesus. Well, don't bother rolling damage. You're going to kill it. Go ahead and make another perception check as you do that.
Okay. I did roll shitty, so just for honor's sake. Does 4 points kill it?
Okay, yes, it does. Yeah.
Okay.
You still did it.
I need to put the die away. There's a problem here. No, I literally just rolled another natural 20. I'm not...
I'm
picking it up. I am rolling it. It just keeps going back.
I hear the rolling, and that's awesome. Okay. So describe to me how Celestial Burst works for Sifel.
Okay. So yeah, it's a little bit interesting. Because I imagine with the type of magics that he taps into, it's less of like, it's not a holy light per se. It's more think like a galaxy burst, like panned out version of the Milky Way, like that sort of nebulous, gaseous, star filled energy forms in his hand, and he launches it outward, and the light that explodes from it are those like star fractals just exploding out over the creature.
Nice. Okay. As you cast that spell, you notice the kind of turquoise-esque crystals next to you. They seem to glow a little bit brighter as you use that spell.
Okay. And that spell in particular.
This is like the first time you've noticed it.
Okay. Interesting.
All right. Is that the end of your turn?
Yes, that is my turn and nothing but my turn.
Okay. Indigo, you are up.
All right. I am going to step a little bit to the north just to get a better angle. Still cradling Ephira with the one hand. I'm going to point out with the other and cast a Sacred Flame on the remaining goblin to the north.
Okay. And that is a dexterity saving throw on my part,
yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Let's pull up their dex save here. Let's see if I keep rolling hot. Natural 19 plus 2. 21.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Dodge nimbly out of the way. And then I will just look over to my back and see what the mimic is doing with the remaining goblin.
Oh, he's chomping away on this goblin, and this goblin, just like, you eventually stop hearing the shrieks as his throat is ripped out and the mimic is just chowing in. Yeah.
Excellent.
And that goblin falls. It had one hit point left.
Excellent, excellent. Just,
leave it behind. There's nothing, no good this weird thing will do.
Indigo, did you say something?
Oh, no. Just here's the port.
I have the perception of a god.
I heard that. Okay. Is that the end of your turn, Indigo?
Yes, that's all I'm going to do.
Okay, then we're back at the top of the order with this one lone goblin sitting in a crystal-raised garden bed who sees a skeletal storm witch with a horrifying blade of doom, a small dragon-esque lizard behind her, a red hobgoblin carrying a dead fairy, a mimic chewing out his friend's throat, and a mind flayer just kind of in the back who blew up his friend with celestial powers, and a mushroom dude who's ripped a couple people's faces apart. And he is, I'm gonna make a wisdom saving throw here. Self-impose. Okay. He's like,
I am so sorry.
And then he's going to try and run. So he's going to try and double move here. 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 35, 40. And he's going to run into the castle and away. Next up in the order, that would have been Athira, who is still dying in the arms of a red angel. And Lara, you are up.
I forgot. I had advantage on that roll last time, and I totally forgot.
It still died.
I'm gonna sprint after this goblin.
He runs He's like, out. Go ahead.
No
go
one
ahead,
escapes Lara.
No, I literally think like she's still pissed that like the goblins attacked Oshni, and then Oshni's like bleeding, whereas she hasn't really taken anything, and so she's like, as soon as that goblin sprints past, she whips around and starts like and like bolting after.
I'm sorry.
You will be sorry.
Jesus.
No.
Okay.
It's a 22 to hit.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Do you want me to roll damage?
Yeah, I want you to roll damage. This one hasn't been hit yet.
Oh no.
That is 10 psychic, 3 slashing, 2 thunder, and 3 necrotic.
Fuck.
Describe your kill.
Oh my gosh.
I think that goblin turned around and was like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And she just whipped out that shadow blade and sliced him across the neck.
We're all just chilling in the room, and we just watch Lara just fucking book it out the door, screams, yeah. And then nothing.
You just literally heard her hunt and watched it, her hunt it down.
Justice.
May your god have mercy on your soul. And she like whips her blade out.
Brutality. a little, but it's effective. All right, we are officially out of initiative. Bleeding goblin orc bodies surround you all. These giant crystals bursting forth from the ground. A mimic eating a goblin body. And Oshni, wounded. What do you guys want to do?
I mean, Lara, when she comes back into the room and, like, observes the carnage, she would also look to see if that crossbow is still there.
Okay, so from where you are currently on the map, you're going to see where this crossbow...
Doorway, I'm thinking.
Okay, from the okay, then make a perception check.
I'm getting one step better. This is a 4.
Wow. You don't see anybody or anything over there in the darkness.
Is everyone all right?
You see Indigo like slumped on his knees again, just like sobbing into like a fear cradled in his shield.
What? Was she taken out by the orc?
I think they all got a piece, but I guess she's at peace a little
bit. Sorry.
Everybody's giggling.
You're all terrible people!
It's not funny.
All I could picture was just like, wow, she's a piece of pie now, I guess.
No, you said You said they all got a piece. I'm like, how much is a piece? Like a toe, a foot? Like, she's tiny.
It was a group effort.
I would like to, I mean, I think Lara's like confident in Indigo, but I'd like to make a medicine check.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, there's a good roll. That's, 15.
Okay. You think she's going to pass within the next couple of seconds. Like, you see her small chest building up like that last big breath.
With Indigo crying over her, and Lara's like checking her injuries, I want to attempt to use my healing hands.
Okay.
It's an ASMR trait that Lara has and that she rarely uses. It's all it is that I touch a creature once per long rest to give them healing energy.
Okay.
She didn't hear anything about not wanting to live, so.
Okay.
So unless Indigo stops her. Indigo might. I don't know. I don't want to, like.
Well, we'll see. Indigo, you notice Lara reaching down to touch Athira, and you can probably sense in a way that she's going to do something.
Indigo is not going to intercede.
Uh-uh.
Okay. All right, so you reach down and you touch Athira. Now, you have only a certain amount of like hit points you can give a creature, right?
Yeah, it's equal to my level, so 3 hit points.
Okay. Now, I just need to... Pretty sure anytime someone is making death saving throws, you give them hit points, they're technically back up to whatever you give them. Pretty sure that's how it works.
Yeah, yes, so. There's no negative health. It's just
okay.
You're at zero.
So you see her small chest rise up, and this shaky breath comes out a little bit firmer, and her eyes kind of shakily open up, and she's like, "What, Indigo? I told you not to."
It wasn't me.
But I'm super pleased to have you back. You know, I think we have a lot of work still to do, but I'm glad we have this time together.
I didn't want this. I and she starts to like get more serious, and she looks actually like really perturbed, and she's like. And you see, like, tears starting to well up in her eyes, and she's like, "Oh, it's starting to come back. Oh, this is my fault. Oh, this is my fault. And she's, like, now crying. She's weeping. And all of you make another perception check, because this has all been going so well tonight.
It's a 4 for Sefel.
Okay.
But he is separated from the situation. He is actually he stepped away from the whole group over there, and once the fighting stopped, he actually went to that northeast wall to see if that figure was still there.
Okay. Indigo, what you get?
That's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20. Lara?
14.
14. Hey! Broke the streak!
Well, I am, like, right next to her, so.
The two of you hear what sounds like the deep echo of stone splitting. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard that in real life. I've only recently had the experience of that. But it's very sharp and it's deep. And in this particular space, it echoes. And you can see what looks like large cracks starting to appear along this southern castle wall, and you just see it slowly spider webbing upwards. All about. Sefel, we're going to jump to you since you're kind of away from the group here at the moment.
Sure.
You have gone over towards this wall where you spotted somebody shooting off from the dark on the other side of this. It's like a 5-foot wall. Mm-hmm. Definitely in deteriorating. It was at one point very well fitted together, this stone wall, but now it's, you know, missing pieces here and there and whatnot. And do you go right up and like look over, or how are you checking out this
space? No, so Sefel is going to approach the wall, stay where he is about 5 feet back from it, and he is going to just sort of he's going to like call that coalesced magic back into his hand, and he's just going to call over, friend or foe, come over to this side. There are no more secrets in this room.
Okay. You don't hear any particular response. And you don't see anything. However, the things you do notice is that just over this wall, you see this dark, lapping water against the small, rocky shore on the other side of it. And as you look over the wall back towards your friends and over these smaller crystals growing up, you see that you are, in fact, in a massive, watery cavern. And you see that there is a odd, spotted, dark-type wood boat bobbing amongst the waves against the shore. And you see, as you would look to the east here, that there is a massive amount of rubble and a set of destroyed doors. And as you continue to look over, you see where whatever must have come against the that's shading again. Thanks, Roll 20. You see that essentially that entire half or section of the castle has been obliterated by something massive. You see the old dusty bones that you had seen scattered about the castle in numerous ways amongst the piles and wreckage. You could see what must have been a second or even a third floor just sticking out from the cavern walls where this castle had been placed, have been demolished, and are just collapsed down. And some of the debris has spewed off into the waters, and the rest lies collapsed on the ground there. But again, you don't hear any response. Jumping back over to Athira, Indigo, Lara, Stool, the two of you have just heard this cracking, and as you had looked back, you'd see these cracks starting to form in the stone wall, and you hear that same voice that you guys heard when you first came into this castle and the skeletons attacked you. Just a scream. And Athira, hearing it too, grips tightly onto your kind of raggedy clothing there, Indigo. She's like, you have to go. You have to go. He'll know. And it will come. You have to leave. I don't know how, but you have to get out.
Athira, you're coming with us.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab her and like stand up and you know, look at the spider rapidly spider webbing wall and the disembodied voice like,
Yeah, I think she's right. We should go. We should all go. We should all go right now. Stool, come on.
I can't go with you. If I go with you, he'll just keep coming. And I don't even know if I can leave just because of the spell and what I agreed to. I don't know that I can.
I imagine we're like running to the edge here. What did you agree to with Ira? Yeah.
She kind of hazily flies out of your arms, Indigo, as you guys are probably moving towards the edge. And Sifel, you can see them moving towards you. Go ahead and move your pawns, please, as well. You see them running over, and your attention is now drawn to the fact that there is spider webbing appearing along the far southern wall. And you hear them talking to Athira. Indigo, you're going to go back for that mimic, I see.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, we'll resolve that in a moment here. She pulls out of your arms, and she says, I was queen of this castle, and we were involved in a terrible, terrible war. More and more people kept coming for my husband and what we had. We were a freed kingdom of slaves, and we had something wonderful. And I grew desperate. And a wise woman had been visiting us for years, offering aid and helping us heal those in the kingdom that were sick. And as what felt like the walls were coming down upon us, and you hear more of that spidering cracking of stones, and that rise of the coming deep from within, Sifel, you can hear it now. She goes, and Athira's looking towards the wall. She says, I made a pact without my husband's knowing with this woman. She claimed that she could save us, that she could help us, protect us all, and we just had to gather all of our people within the castle, and we could be made safe. Wards could be put up. And I did it, and my husband didn't want to do that. He said we didn't need anything, so such drastic measures. We could fight our way out. And I told him it was that we needed to protect some of the people here. And more of that spider webbing. And she says, I had no idea what she was, truly was. She somehow moved this whole castle here to the Underdark, and the ritual she did drew upon all of our subjects, all of our friends, all of our people. And she's like looking around and referring to the skeletons. She's like, I have for hundreds of years been walking amongst my dead friends without even knowing. She cursed my husband to feel their pain for years and years and years, never allowed to forget, while I would always live in ignorance of what I would done, hoping that one day I might venture in and his form might try to kill me. And that anger has been building ever since. And now, since you brought me back, I think the spell has ended. And he will break free. And you need to go.
If the spell is ended, you don't think that you can leave? You have to stay? Are you certain?
I don't know that I should even move on. Why does someone like me, who's done such a horrible act, deserve to move on from this?
Oh. Lara is like looking at Ithira with this level of understanding that is like, just like this like furious intent as she like looks at her. Ithira, we saved you because there's still more. There's so much more in that you can do, and you can't give up. You can't. You might want to. You might think that there's nothing left and that you've done horrible things, that there couldn't possibly be more for you. And I'm telling you that there is. I'm telling you that you should try and that you should come with us. Just try.
Does anybody else chime in here?
Indigo would definitely like look back as he's like attempting to pull a mimic off of a goblin. it's time to go. It's time to go.
Make an animal handling check at disadvantage because it is still consuming this goblin corpse.
That's fair. That's an 18.
Okay. You manage to pull it off. While it has got a mouthful of bone and sinew and muscle, and you have it in your hands now.
Okay, yeah, you keep working on that. Ephira, it's not what you've done. It's what you are going to do next. It's what you choose to do next.
You can spend centuries, the next centuries, making up for everything, but you won't have the chance to do that if you give up now.
She looks... actually, one of you can make a persuasion check. You can do it separately, or you can give one of you an advantage on this.
Oh, wow. Laura has advantage on this roll.
You mean the Chawcaster has advantage on a persuasion check?
The Chawcaster? Chaw, dude.
I'm going to take the advantage. Can I double down with my inspiration?
If you want to, yeah. If you really want her to stick around.
I think that this makes a lot of sense for Lara, that she would absolutely be pouring her heart out right now trying to get her to come with us.
Mm.
That is a 16.
Okay.
A 16, Jesus.
Okay.
And an 8, so 16.
Okay. As you are pleading out here, Sifel, what are you doing, by the way? Are you pretty silent during this exchange?
For the most part, yeah. Sifel is keeping his general... He doesn't know whether or not he should be rushing them along or finding another plan, or if we're just going to succumb to emotional theatrics here. He is like, he's looking over the wall. He sees this wooden boat, and he goes, he's like starting to move in that direction, and then something stops him. And he is a stubborn wizard fuck, and he's actually, he is going to look at the wall that is like currently just spiderwebbing and cracking, and I imagine like starting to crumble. Listen to everything that might be behind that wall, and he is going to yell to them, "We can continue the conversations later. There's a boat on the other side of the wall. We need to move. This place will not hold up. Take Ithira with us if you will, but move." And he is going to actually sprint to the larger crystal cluster that he originally moved to, and he is going to try to take some of it.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well,
a greedy man.
What are you going to do to try and harvest this crystal?
He's going to run up with this like gnarled, twisted staff of his. And he is just going to, like, try to find, like, a crack or, you know, structurally loose portion of this large crystal. And he's just going to try to jam it in and, like, wrestle out a piece.
If that doesn't work, he has contingencies, but that's what he's going to do. He's just going to, like, jab his staff into it and see if he can knock even, like, a piece loose.
Okay. Well, there are plenty of points that you can attempt to do this. What is important here is how much you are trying to take with you. Now, I should point out here that the wall that seems to be cracking, if it should fall, you don't believe that you are, any of you are in immediate danger of any of the debris that comes down unless it, like, blasts forward in terms of, like, an explosion. But if it were just to fall, you don't believe you'd be in any kind of immediate danger. So, Sefel, you don't necessarily think you're crazy pressed for time in terms of, like, my life's in danger, but whatever's behind it in the screams doesn't sound great.
Well, yeah, I think the fear isn't that the wall's going to come down and crush us. It's listening to the little bits of Aethera's story, and I think the fear is what is behind that wall. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's actually as terrible as she seems to believe it might be, and how angry it sounds, and all of the rumbling and screaming that's been going through this castle. The fear isn't the wall, it's what happens when the wall is gone.
Yeah. Okay. So, how much of this crystal are you trying to take? The largest spine, and it grows kind of like, for those at home that are listening, it grows like quartz does. So similar to the red ones that you have seen. However, this one doesn't look like it holds energy. It seems whatever it is actually compositionally made of is of a different type of substance.
Okay. I don't think he has, like, a quantity in mind. I think it's literally just get any of it, mm-hmm. Because he does want to move. So I think he's just going to try to knock a piece off. I imagine, like, if I'm not being picky, but if I had to, like, imagine what he's going for, just, like, small crystals like he got of the red variety, something that he can, like, experiment with and hold and test magically. He's not looking for a giant chunk of crystal.
Sure. This is what I'm going to do, because you're trying to do this quickly. I'm going to roll a d4, and then I will have you make a strength check.
Sure.
And whatever the number I roll here will represent how much you get if you succeed on the check. Okay. Go ahead and make me a strength check. You run up, you jam your staff in there, you're going for it.
All right. Roll nicely on me here. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to use... I'm going to use one of my knowledges. Make an ability check.
Stool's, like, screaming at you, Sefel. Stool's just like, what are you doing, Sefel?
I'm going to use my feature to add a d6 onto that. You fucking suck. That's a 9 total.
Okay. The section that you jam your staff into and you're trying to get at doesn't seem to want to break, but Stool has run over to you and is like, Sefel, what are you doing? We should probably be going.
Make yourself useful and break the crystal.
Okay. You didn't have to yell.
Punch it, mushroom.
It's a traumatic time for everybody. Emotions are high. I can feel it all in your minds. Ow.
Okay, are you going to assist in him, or are you just having him do it?
No, I'm going to have him, like... So what I'm going to do is, once I realize, like, my jabbing isn't going to do it, I imagine, like, there's just a little bit of a split where it didn't really do anything, but there's, like, a chip in the crystal. He's gonna wedge his staff there and, like, apply pressure as Stool bashes on the actual piece.
All right. Let's see. We can do separate checks, or we can do one at with advantage.
How about you have Stool do this? Stool
do it at advantage.
I will allow Stool.
Wow.
As good as I think I could do this, I'll let Stool have his moment.
Wow, this is the first instance
that's
of
character growth right there.
Yeah, man, some alignment changes might be happening.
Nope. Still gonna put him in a suit.
Okay. I gave it advantage, and the first one was an 8. The second one I rolled a natural 17 plus 3 for a 20. So a larger piece of this crystal growth actually breaks off. It is probably 4 feet in length.
Oh,
and
shit.
Probably about 8 or so inches in diameter. So it's a pretty big size.
Is it heavy? Like, is it?
That's the really friggin' weird part. As it falls, right before it would have hit the ground, kind of like towards you, it actually like slowly falls and just kind of like rests on the ground.
I found the feather. I will pick it up, like surprised with how easily I assume I can lift it.
It's very light, surprisingly.
Okay. I'm going to look over at Stool.
He's like,
take the meanest thing I have said to you in the last 24 hours. That single comment, you can discount. Now let's move. And he heads back towards
so
the book.
Nice of you, Zephel. It's literally the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
And as he's moving back, he's like, I still mean all the others, though.
Okay. As you guys are having this heart-to-heart with Ethira, Sifel and Stool are in the back stealing crystals. This is such a great image in my head. I can just see them in the background. You guys are, like, talking to her, and you just see his robed form just running past. Okay. Jumping back to the group, debating on whether or not Ethira is going with you, she's like, I want to believe, but I'm not. I don't think I should. I don't think I should. And I think you need to go. You need to find a way out. Better, something better than this. And perhaps you can do something good for me, but maybe this can be my good act. Staying here and allowing you to go. And she kind of turns back towards that wall, and you can see chunks of it are now starting to push outward and land in this garden-like area. This ghastly voice you can start to hear clearer now. You can see the wall just starting to buckle outwards. What are you guys doing?
Lara looks at Indigo like, what do you think?
Indigo looks at Lara. Are we good? Or?
Well, like, he saved her life. I mean, we can just like... I mean...
Indigo's standing there holding a shield in one hand and a mimic in the other that's like eating a goblin hand, like,
yeah, he's just nomming it like cow cud.
I mean, Laura, if you think the right thing to do is stand here and face this with her, then I will stand with you. I mean, I was gonna... I think we have to respect her choice. She knows more about this place than we'll ever know, and whatever she feels is right, I think is right, at least for her, and we can help her in every way we can, but... I'm very afraid of whatever's gonna come through that wall.
Can I...
Ethira... Oh.
Can I cast Adjust Density on the wall?
On the wall that is cracking?
Yes. I would like to try to make the wall even heavier than it currently is to buy us more time. If they are
okay, you're going to try and get it to stay in place using that. Okay.
Yes. I don't know if I can actually do that.
Yeah, is it like an area of effect or is it a singular target?
So as an action, so it's not a spell. It's a feature. So, as an action, I can magically alter the weight of an object or creature you can see within 30 feet of you. The object or creature must be large or smaller. So, I don't know if I would be able to target an entire wall.
Yeah, definitely not a whole wall, but you could get, like, a large stone in the wall. It's a tricky thing.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna take the chance. I'm committing. He somehow thinks that this is useful. So he's going to look at the fact that they're still conversing and that the wall is still crumbling. And if there is one like centralized or one like load bearing chunk of the wall, maybe like towards the base where the spider webbing has begun, he's going to focus on that one larger chunk. And he's going to double the weight of it.
Okay. To find this type of particular stone, go ahead and make me an investigation check.
Okay. Roll nicely, please. Ooh, okay. Sort of middle of the road. 17 for that one.
Okay. You do see a larger stone kind of atop the lower buckling stones that seem to want to come outwards now. You think if there was one stone that you could try to affect that might have some sort of impact installing this, that could be the one. But the chances are it could go either way. It could work in your favor or it could be against you. But that, like, you do find the one. So I will have you roll a percentile die.
Okay.
If you want to do this.
Sure.
And it will be a 50-50 chance. And I will let you call if you want it to be low numbers it succeeds or high numbers it succeeds. But you have to tell me before you roll.
Yep. Let's do... Yeah, because I think he's going to do this. It's not going to buy a lot of time. And he'll tell them that if he does so. I can only concentrate on it for up to a minute.
Okay.
But if they need those few extra seconds to figure this out or maybe convince Athira, he is at this moment feeling a little helpful and perhaps guilty of some things that have transpired in this castle, and he's going to do what he can to buy a little bit of time. So I'm going to go ahead and roll that percentile die. Let's go 51 to 100 success.
Okay. Rolling. Right.
Be kind to me. 63.
Okay.
Nice.
So this stone, and you see the crystals around you as you move, as you amplify the gravity here, just like start to glow a little bit more. And this stone just starts pushing down, and whatever is trying to push this wall seems to now have run into a bit of trouble. So you have bought yourself potentially a minute's worth of time.
And he will look back and say, "I can only hold this for a moment. We need to figure out what we're doing now."
As you guys are debating, you hear what sounds like some scrabbling and sifting coming from the wall that Yusufel had been investigating before. And you see a figure climb on top of it. This figure stands just shy of 5 feet tall.
That figures.
You see that they have what looks like a hilt peeking over their back. They have a leather cowl fitted over their large, kind of grayish pink ears that go down to a kind of light or a darker gray pointed face. that has a longer kind of beard with these beaded a beaded beard that kind of hangs off of it a little bit. These large rippling arms that hold a heavy crossbow in one of them. A kind of scars littered across their face and their body. And they go, "Well, look at the lot of you." And you see a long pinkish tail kind of swish back and forth. And you realize that it is a were-rat standing on this wall.
"Look at the lot of you. Seems you're in a bit of a pickle and looking for a way out. I might just have that for you." "They call me Grim. And I've got a boat."
"Were you the one that shot the crossbow?"
"That I was."
"We might be needing that boat."
"You can join me for a price."
"Well, I trust this man implicitly, so..."
"I like that one. That one's a smart lad."
"He does not speak for us."
"Well, it seems like you don't have much time left to decide, tentacle head. Make a choice. Because I'm getting off this rock. Whatever you have in gold or valuables."
"Deal!"
Athira's looking at you, Lara, and she's like, "Go. Here's a way out. Go. It's okay."
We can't make you come with us. But..." And she's going to reach into her bag and pull out...
"Are you going to stuff her into a jar?"
"No! Oh my god!" She's going to reach into her bag and pull out 3 torch stalks.
"Okay. I thought you were going to pull out your genie lamp and just like shove her in it."
"No, I can't do that yet. Yet." Okay. She's going to hand over 3 torch stalks, and she's going to light her torch and hand her the torch. She's going to say, "If this is your choice, and I guess you should be able to decide when you don't, just light those when you're ready." And then Lara's going to indicate for Indigo to like head for the wall.
Okay. She goes, "Thank you. I appreciate this. Go. Sifel, run. Stool. Poor sweet Stool, you run too, you innocent thing."
"I knew I liked her."
Okay. So this were-rat standing on the wall goes,
"Great. Get over the wall. We're getting to the boat."
Sifel, do you continue to try and hold the spell as you're running, or are you letting it go now?
Sifel is going to hold it and stay put until he's sure that everybody is actually, like, starting to move. And then once they've gotten to the wall, he's going to let it go and join. And he'll just, like, dash the distance over.
Okay.
But he's going to hold it until he can.
Sure. So this were-rat hops off the wall and runs over to the larger boat and starts gathering up some oars. Lara, Indigo, your mimic and Oshni, you guys are running towards it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Stool's making their way over there as well.
I would like to cast a quick bless on Athira before I hit the bricks.
Okay.
Once they've all moved over, I will dash. Yeah, I think I can just... Oh yeah, that's nothing. Yeah, he'll let it go and dash over the wall on the boat with them.
Alright, so you guys dash over the wall, clambering into this boat, shaking it, and Grim the were-rat's like,
"Easy now, easy, we don't want to be tipping. Grab an oar and start rowing, we're getting out."
And he starts pushing off from the shore, and a lot of you can see Athira kind of floating closer towards you, peering out at you. And then you finally hear the of the wall exploding, and you can just make off as this greenish light envelops the area, and you see into a slight room with this red-green pulsating energy. A number of skeletons spilling forth from this wall, one heavily armored one, and these shadows clinging to it, and a large ghostly-like figure that matches the painting of King Gallus Thorn that you had seen in the library comes forward and
Athira, I loved you. Why have you cursed us?
And all of these figures start moving towards her, and she's still watching you all as you begin rowing away. And as the figures get closer and closer, you see a light flare up near her as you fade out on the waters, followed by a few short moments later, what sounds like a small explosion and more rubble collapsing. And I picture the lot of you looking back on this scene, and as Grim, the very buff were-rat, continues to row, the swishing of the water, and he's like,
well then, so much for loot in that place, but I see I've found a few rather interesting guests. You'll have to tell me about yourselves, as we've got a long journey back to Cracklestock.
And that's where we'll leave off this episode.
Damn. Listener, you've made it this far to the post show notes, and that means the absolute world to us. Thank you so much for being here. If you have one more second, we would adore you if you could leave a rating and a review in whatever podcatcher you're currently listening in. The ratings and reviews are astronomical when it comes to growing the show because it's what gets us noticed for new listeners. So if you have just a moment to do that, please do. And we also have a Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram if you want to give us a follow. It's at The Madness Table. And if you've noticed, we are now posting weekly episodes because of supporters like you. So if we haven't said it enough, thank you. And we will see you in just 7 short days for our next episode when...
Madness.